Did you all have a wonderful Christmas? Yeah? Okay, I had. So I pray that all of you had a wonderful Christmas, because not just of the gifts or whatever, but we know that Jesus became the gift for the world. And only through him we are saved. So everybody should have had a wonderful Christmas. I'm kind of like nervous about this message, because this message is something that you will be kind of taking with you to the next year. We are at the end of the year, and this is kind of like a charge. And I've been praying about this message, and I said, Lord, let the people hear your word, not mine. So let's have a prayer. Our Father in heaven, please be with us today as we open your word, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today, my key text is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's see. I clicked the clicker, but it's not changing. I don't want to click again. Okay, it says in 2nd, if you can click, okay, there we go. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As I've said, we are moving to the new year. And I know that many of you have struggled this year. I know for myself, I am just getting into my 1 year and a half mark from getting cancer free. And I know that 2021 and 2022 were really hard years for Bob and I. But we got through it because we have our God in heaven who's always been there, who is a healer, and who is a father to give us comfort. He didn't leave us discouraged. He cheered us up. You know, when we are reading our Bibles, he gave us promises that all of us can cling into. And this year, what I want to share to you are things that you can cling into as you face the new year, as you face the year 2024. So I have four beginnings that I want to share with you for this coming year. And the first one is new faith, new religion in Christ. I didn't tell you, okay, or I'm not telling you to get into another church, okay? This is renewing your faith, renewing where you are in your religion. Where were you at this past year? Were you closer to God? Or you think that you're even farther? So I want to share to you this one. Seek God first as you face the new year. In Matthew 6:33, it says what? Seek ye first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you think you want to have a better job, you want to make more money, I think you have to seek God first. And no matter what will happen, I know that he will bless you. It might not be the way you want it, but I know that that will be the best for you. And next, we have in Jeremiah 29:13, he said, oh, we are there, sorry. Sometimes it's slow. I think they're pressing it there for me. So let's go back to the next one because the clicker is not working. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God will never keep himself from us. So, if you really want to look for him, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart, he will reveal himself to you. Next, Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Maybe we love someone else better or more than God. Maybe you want to recommit yourself and think about it. I want to love God more than anything else. I remember when I met my husband, I always tell him, "I can give you up, but never my God." Because I know that when I have God, I can have everything. I can have the best husband. And look what I have. I have him. Yeah, so I'm really blessed. And next, we'll move on into the next one. Meditate on the Word of God. Okay, this is very important. Remember, relationship is two ways, okay? It's not just us talking to God, telling him everything. We also need to meditate on the Word of God so we will hear his voice. And remember, he doesn't reveal himself through earthquakes or falling rocks. How does he reveal himself to us? Through the still, small voice. And if you are so busy trying to listen to a loud voice, you will miss that voice. So listen to that still, small voice that God wants you to hear. And okay. It says in there, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful." Many times we try to go to people. We try to ask advices. But have we asked God? Have we told him our sorrows, our problems, and asked him, "Lord, please help me. Please reveal to me the solution to my problems. Please reveal to me the answer to my questions." So it's very important that we focus on God more on people. And then in Psalms 1:1-3, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." It's very important that we meditate on the Word of God and obeying his law. Yes, we have to focus on God, but when our relationship is right, we will obey the laws. Not the laws first before God. We have to focus on God. He is the giver of the law, and then everything will follow. So we always have to meditate on the Word of God and listen to his voice. Next, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." We don't know what is ahead of us. We don't know what 2024 might bring us. But we know that we have a faithful God. That is for sure. A God who is always there, who will never leave us nor forsake us. So cling on that. Not on the promises of promotion, promises of maybe a better insurance. No. Cling on God, because with him, those things will follow. And of course, Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have a good success." As I've said, God When he promises, he will never back out. He will never fail on fulfilling that promise. And this is a promise that he's telling you today. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. As you renew your relationship with God, put that word in your heart, in your mind. Not just when you come to church, you read your Bible, you listen to the preacher. No. As I've said, meditate on his word and keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. And you will, I promise you, when you do that, when things go wrong, you will not worry. You will not feel distraught. You will not feel discouraged, but encouraged because you have a God beside you. Psalms 119, verse 148, it says what? My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. This is from David. You know that David is what? A man after God's own heart. And I know how he meditated on God, made him stronger when he had to face Saul, when he had to face problems in his life. Yes, he wasn't a perfect king. He wasn't a perfect servant of God, but he was always after God's own heart. I pray that we'll be like David. Next, surrender yourself to God. It's very important. Yes, we could be reading his word. We could be meditating. But are we really giving ourselves to him? Are we really surrendering ourselves to him? It says in James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The enemy is always there. And he will always try to discourage you, to hurt you. When I got my cancer, I know it's not God that did that to me, but he allowed it because I know that the enemy is the one who attacks us. It's the enemy that will always try to hurt us so we can be discouraged and we will not trust God and his promises. But if you always submit yourself to God, the enemy will flee from you. Next. In all your ways, this one is very famous, of course. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:6. Sometimes you don't know what is ahead of you, but when you surrender yourself to God, when you submit yourself to God, he will show it to you. He will guide you, unless you still follow and listen to your own understanding, right? So, and many times we do that. We ask, Lord, please guide me. But I want this. This is what I want to do. It's easier. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. As we face the new year, always remember that God wants only the best for us. He wants us to have hope and a future, not discouragement or dismay, okay? Not those. He wants to give us a future and hope. James 4, verses 8 and 9. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sometimes we doubt things, but we need to focus on Jesus and ask him to trust his words, his promises. And then, of course, we need to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4, 8 and 9, that's the verse 10 in there. And then, trust in the Lord. You will see again, as I've said, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's very important. We have to learn how to give it to God. Let's leave it to him. I'm sure you have heard many times about that illustration of a child having a toy and it broke. And then he said to his father, Father, fix this. But then the child, instead of letting his father fix the toy, kept asking, Dad, let me see, I can do it. It's the father who knows what to do. So you have to let go, trust God, and let him fix things for you. Psalms 118:9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Many times we believe people with power. We think they can do better. I don't want to be get into politics, but sometimes we think, oh, this is a better leader. No. Put your trust in God. Yes, we need to respect our leaders of the countries, of the church, but we always have to trust God. We always have to put our confidence in them, or to God, not in them. And then Psalms 91:2, what it says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I hope you can say that as you face the new year. And then 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Yes, when God created the earth, he prepared it for us to enjoy. Even though now that the sin have marred it, you know, we still enjoy when we see like beautiful mountains. We say the beautiful flowers, like so beautiful. How much more when we get to new heaven and see the perfect things, right? If we appreciate those things, how can we appreciate those that are perfect? So I'm looking forward for that day when things are perfect. And next, my second one is new social relationships. This is for just anyone here in the church or your neighborhood. We need to love our neighbors. In Philippians 2:4, it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. It's very important when we come to church, we ask our church members, how are you doing? Greet someone. Maybe they just come here to church and this is the time they can really feel somebody's there for them. But if we fail to greet them, if we fail to say hi to that someone in the church, we are not doing God's will. So let's be conscious about it. Let's love our neighbors, not just the people that we know, but people that we don't know. Matthew 22:13, it says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. We know it says also like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. And that's, the next to that is what? But love your neighbors as yourself. So it's very important that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Also in Galatians 5:13-15, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Also Galatians the same, but just the next verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So we need to stop telling things that are against our neighbors, maybe our church family, our friends. We need to say good things. Let's focus on how are we going to glorify God when we say things to others. Because we also know, it says in James 2:8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you will do well. And then Luke 10:27. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:13, then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And this is actually 31, so I thought that's been deleted. But the next one actually is, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So let's be kind to others, and let's do good to others, because you don't know, it could be the angel that you're entertaining, right? And then, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of this, my brethren, you did it to me. So whatever we do to others, we're doing it to him. If we are helping them, if we are loving them, we are doing it to God. But if we are saying things against them, if we are not trying to help their needs, we are also doing it to God. So let's be loving to our neighbors. It's very important as we face the new year. Let it be your goal. Let me do something to my neighbor. Let me do something to my church family. And then, of course, new family relationships. How is your relationship in your family? Yes, we could be doing good with others, with God, but what about our family? This is to children, to parents. And you observe that most of this is from the Bible, because what I want to give to you is really from the Word of God and not from me. Of course, this law is what? The fifth commandment. It says, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's very important we honor and obey our parents. And then, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's very important. How's your relationship with your parents? Maybe you're already an adult, you have your own kids. But remember, you are the example to your kids. If you haven't talked to your parents, if you haven't talked to your mom, to your dad, this is the time. Call them. Tell them, I love you. I love you, mom. I love you, dad. Because it's very important. If you want to make things right, this is the time as you face the new year. And in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And actually, in the other text, it will also tell you, I think I have it in the other slide. You must have opened the earlier email. Matthew 19:19, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself, because we are all children of God. So it's not just, oh, well, they're not my neighbors. They're not other people. They're my family. They know my, you know, problems. No, we still have to love each other. No matter how much you think you're so familiar with that person, you have to know that that is a child of God. And then next, we have parents to children. And here it says in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him discipline him promptly. It's very important. We need to discipline our children. If you really love them, you have to tell them what is right and wrong. You don't really need to spank them, but you have to tell them that what they've done is wrong, and tell them that this is what is right. Not just like, don't do that, don't do this. Tell them why you think it's not, they're not supposed to do it, okay? You have to tell them what is the matter, why they don't have to do that thing, why they have to stop doing that thing, okay? We need to discipline them promptly. Not tomorrow, not the following week. It has to be when you observe that mistake, tell them what is wrong and why they have to correct it. When they are younger, it's easier, right? But when they are older and when they start talking back, that's harder. But God still wants us to discipline them because they are God's children. And of course, Titus 2:4, it says that they admonish the young women to love their... Okay, what happened in there? Something happened to this slide because this is for... Okay, there. Yes, to love their children. Okay. That they admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children. So, yes, in the couple, sometimes the children observe, oh, my parents are loving each other so much, but then when they have to deal with me, it's very different. So we need, as I've said, we are the example. They have to see that we love them too. Okay? And then Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think I've told you many times in some of my messages before that my parents, they've always taught us, you know, using the Bible, send us to the church school because they want us to have that strong foundation. If we have that strong foundation, when you face the world, be assured, parents, that your child will succeed. Your child will never leave that teaching. They might leave a little bit. Some of you, some of the testimonies, you've left your church, but because you know that there is God who's always there, you will always go back. You will always remember that foundation, a strong foundation. And then, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Always encourage your kids. Sometimes it's us that's causing our children to misbehave. So, for parents, let's be careful. Children are looking up on us. They are going to follow what your example. So, don't provoke your kids so that they may disrespect you. Okay? And then Ephesians 6:4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition to the Lord. As I've said, like when we do our meditation, they will observe that. When they see you studying God's word, praying, being faithful to God, they will see that, and they will try to follow that. I remember when I was a little girl, you know, in Philippines, we always live together with grandparents and parents and cousins and aunts and uncles. My grandfather, really early morning, he will start singing from the hymnal with just the gas lamp. You know, I don't know if you've experienced those, because here in America, it's very different. We are like 20 years behind or 50 years behind. So he will have that little gas lamp, you know, from a jar he made it, and then there he will put a wicker, and that will be the light. And then when you take your bath and you observe, your nose has a lot of those soot. Yeah, so, but we will wake up from my grandfather singing, and he will start the worship. He will not call us. He will not tell us, hey, get up and join the worship. But once we hear him singing, we know we have to get up. We have to join the worship. And that's how I grew up. You know, and then he will have his devotional in there. And it just, when we have a reunion, my cousins and I will talk about it, and we will say, like, oh, we miss our grandfather. Because some of the families now, you know, my cousins, the father will be different, or the mother, and we miss that. When our grandfather would start singing, you know, from the hymn, and then you wake up, and you know that it's time for worship. Next, husband and wife. Maybe you are taking care of our children so much. We give so much to our children, but we should not forget that we also need to take care of each other as a couple, husband and wife. Okay, in here, First Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also to also the wife to her husband. We need to love each other for couples. I'm looking at my husband. And then, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's very important. We need to respect each other. And later I will share something to you that I saw in a little clip. It's a minister that is officiating a marriage, or yeah, wedding. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband, he is what? He's the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So we need to respect our husbands, and husband, you need to love your wife, because just like the church, Jesus is the husband, he is the groom, and the church is the bride. And then Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Culturally, my culture is very different. The wives usually follow husbands, but we still have our own autonomy or power. And, you know, if you know Philippine history, we had several vice presidents that are women and a president that was a woman. So you will observe that in my culture, in my country, we submit ourselves to the husbands. You know, we let them lead, but we also have our own power, as I will say, right? And then Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her. Okay? You should be willing to give your life to your wife, and also for the vice versa. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. It tells a lot. And then Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. So let's be a crown to our husbands, wives, okay? Because that I don't want to be a rotten thing for my husband in his bones. That's like cancer, right? And then, as I've said, I'm going to share to you something. It says when he was officiating this marriage, he said to the husband first, he said, husbands, you need to be the spiritual leader. And you need to give affirmation and appreciation to your wife. It's very important that the wife will hear some appreciations or affirmation. Of course, romance, give flowers. Chivalry, opening the door of the car to your wife. It doesn't go old. It still applies, okay? And of course, you need to have intimate conversation. When the kids are not around, talk and share whatever, you know, like problems and stuff. That's the time you talk to your husband or to your wife. And of course, the husband needs to be transparent. The wife needs to know the truth. You need to be transparent. Don't worry, guys, I have something for women, okay? And then, the husband, you need to be the home support. You need to support your family. And then you need to be committed to your family. It's very important. How you deal with your family also will affect how you deal with others. And then for the wives, he said, wives, you must give respect. We know that from the Bible, right? And then you need to care for his needs. And then this, you need to take care of yourself. Spend a day in a spa, right? You don't want your husband to say, why my wife used to look so nice before we got married, but now look at her. So be careful. You need to take care of yourself, okay? And then also, you need to support your home, okay? And then the wife has to be a life companion. If you do those things, your marriage will be okay. Okay? So now is my fourth one for the, like, sort of a new thing for the new year. It's new business relationships. This one is when at work. How do you deal with your coworkers? And how do you do your work? I remember when I was in Korea as a missionary, I was there as a missionary teacher. And on my second year, I was teaching high school. Oh, boy. You know, I'm so short. And many of my kids were, like, so tall. And when they talk to me, they look down on me. And then some of them will not listen to me because they think I'm just a little kid. And I was like, in the morning, I would kneel down and beg God, Lord, please help me to make a difference to this child's life today and help them to listen to me. Because I was there as a missionary. So I was like, I see that some of the teachers, the regular teachers in there, the Koreans, they will punish the kids. They will spank them. They have sticks, you know. We don't do that here. And in Philippines, we stop doing that. I have experienced some spanking in the school. But when I was in my 20s, they stopped that. So kids are different now in Philippines. But I was like, I cannot punish my kids, but what can I do? So they will listen to me because they're afraid of the Korean teachers because they know they're going to get spanked. They're going to get punished. So I was like, Lord, what will I do? And I was like, I know what I can do is just to love them, accept them. And so when we deal with our coworkers, I know there are just some things that sometimes it gets to your nerve. When I used to work, I remember because we don't smoke, we don't drink, and many times I'll be left on the floor as a nurse aide. Many of my coworkers who are aides will be gone. I'll be left alone. And, like, there are so many rooms for me to handle, and I will see all those call lights, and I was like, where are they? And I was like, I cannot just leave that light on. I have to go into that room. And then I will ask, what do you need? And then I'll try to find out where's the aide for that who's assigned in that area. They're already out smoking. And I was like, oh my. He's like, that's really bad at for work, right? So I really pray a lot. I was like, Lord, please help me. And in here, a good man deals graciously and lends. This lends doesn't mean money. Remember in our previous lessons, do not let them borrow money. This lends, I think, is just help, okay? Your hand, okay? He will guide his affairs with discretion. So always be willing to help your coworkers. And then, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. So this is just being honest at work. This might not be a, like, kind of financial transaction. Just as I've said, just like in my work before as a nurse aide, being there for your patients, that's being honest and doing your work, being honest on your time, okay? It's very important because time is the Lord's. It's not ours. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. When things are happening and you see some things that are not right, you need to be honest. You need to speak up. Don't just be quiet and timid. It's not my business. Well, if it's going to harm someone else's life, you have to speak up. And then Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. As I've said, those things will reflect. As you develop your relationship with God, integrity will follow. And then others will see that also. Psalms 11:7, for the Lord is righteous. His love, he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. God wants us to be righteous. God wants us to be honest. And he is calling us to be righteous. And then 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. As I've said, this is kind of a charge for the new year. If you think you want to rededicate your life to God, you can stand up. And as I pray, speak to God and tell him you want a new life for 2024. So I'm going to pray, as I've said, if you want to rededicate your life, your relationship, your family, your relationship with others, you can stand up and I will pray. Our Father in heaven, we are here today. We want to empty ourselves so that you can fill us. Lord, you know our weaknesses, our pains, or whatever we have right now in our lives, what we are going through. You know everything. Nothing is hidden from you. So we come to you, Lord, and we are asking you to please fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love so that we can be a light to others, so that we can be an example for them. And we thank you because you have sent Jesus, because he's our perfect example. So help us to look up only to him, because we know that in the end, we will answer only to you, not to our neighbors, not to our family, not to our pastors, but to you. So help us, Lord, to look up to you. See you as our great example. And help us to honor you in everything that we'll do as we face 2024. We love you, Lord. And we pray that your blessings will be upon us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.